This is Church Alive's Teaching of the Week. For additional teachings or information about the church, go to churchalive.net.
I'm excited to be here this morning to continue our series on Homefront. We've been talking about how home is the front line and it is absolutely worth fighting for. And so Pastor Gene and Pastor Regina are not here today. They're in Arab, Alabama at a marriage conference. They're helping with that. So they send their love to you and they'll be back soon. But today it's me and I'm excited to be here with you. Yeah, thank you. So Pastor Gene's done a really good job the last few weeks of breaking down different parts of the family. So if you missed it, I'll give you a recap. As part of week one, we talked about defending our marriages. And then in week two, we talked about building a culture of honor in our homes. And then last week, we talked about raising our arrows, which are our kids who are the next generation. And so I think he's done a really good job. If you look at this verse, this will be familiar to you. This has been sort of the key verse throughout the series, and it comes from Mark chapter 3, verse 24 and 25. And it says, a kingdom divided against itself will collapse. A home filled with strife and division destroys itself. I would say that our home has definitely gained something from this sermon series. I've gone back and I've listened to Pastor Gene's sermons after I've been here and listened to them in sort of preparation for today. And when he asked me to jump in on this series and teach, because he knew he would be out today, I was like, yeah, this is something that I'm excited about because the family unit is something that I tend to, you know, read about more, do devotions on, listen to podcasts, that kind of thing, because I'm right in the thick of, you know, marriage and motherhood. And so I thought, yeah, this is awesome. And honestly, y'all, I feel like we have a pretty strong marriage. My husband Tyler and I have been married 10 years in May. And so we're thankful that our marriage is good, right? Yes, okay. And so he wasn't in the first service to vouch for me, but he is absolutely my best friend. Tyler's very easy to get along with. People often ask me, is he just as funny and charismatic, you know, at home as he is in person, like, you know, in public? And I'm like, yes, he is the same all the time. So it's lots of fun. We typically get along well, and very rarely do we disagree or argue. Shake your head. And so so in our children, we have Jude and Wells, and they're great kids. I can't imagine being anything other than a boy mom at this point in my life. I think that the sun rises and sets in them, as does probably most of the mothers in this room think of their kids. And so I would say that our home is one that is full of peace. Thank the Lord. Like, the Lord has been gracious to us, and we do have a peaceful home most days. Heavy emphasis on the most days, because I'll tell you that as we've led up till today, Pastor Gene's been preaching on this Homefront series, and then I've been prepping for today's message. It's like the enemy looked at me and he said, Nicole, just kidding. Like, LOL at your idea of a peaceful home. Here's a double dose of division. And can I just be real with y'all for a minute? Okay, because I'm not Pastor Gene, so don't get mad. If this is your first Sunday, come back and hear him later. But in our home, in the Share Me home, sometimes it goes down. And I'll be really honest with you, as we've led up until today, maybe there's just been a little bit more friction in our home. Do you ever notice, like, when you're have a little bit of friction, especially with your spouse at home, you can get started in, like, an argument, and maybe it just comes from something silly, like just something insignificant, and it just sort of tips the other person off, and then you kind of have a quick response, and then you just sort of get into it. And pretty soon, like, you're arguing, it's full-fledged, and you're mad at each other. But then you think back, like, how did we get here? Like, what we started with was not really a good reason to be arguing. But you're committed, you know, at that point. You're mad. And so, like, if I'm in it, I'm in it, you know. I'm not holy and sanctified all the time. There are moments that the flesh creeps in. And so I have tried to preach Pastor Gene's sermons in my head when Tyler and I have had some disagreements in the past few weeks. I'm looking at him, and I'm mad, and I'm like, honor him, honor him, honor him. Okay, he is not the enemy. He's not the enemy. We are on the same team. And I'm like preaching it to myself, knowing that, like, today is coming. And I don't want to feel like a hypocrite. And sometimes, honestly, I just look at him, I'm like, if you look at me wrong one more time, I'm going to hang you up by your toes, okay? So sometimes, honestly, it does go down in our home. But a few weeks ago, Jude is 5. And if you have a 5-year-old, you know they're the mouth of the South because they know enough to like hear it and then repeat it. So we were having a friendly disagreement, and we came to a resolution, and we're very big on like come back, hug each other, you know, say we're sorry, and we want Jude to see that because we want to know him to know that like everybody makes mistakes, you know. So Tyler says, "Hey buddy, do you want to come over here and give us a hug?" And he did. He leaned his head up against my leg, and then he looked up at us. He said, "And Mom and Dad aren't married anymore." And I was like, "No, do not say that." I was like, "No, buddy, we are." And he was like, "But you're not best friends." And I was like, "Do not go tell people that, Jude." So if you heard that through the rumor mill a few weeks ago, that is not true. We're happily married. Shake your head again. Yeah. And so we're fine. But y'all, we've been talking about division. And I don't know, maybe it doesn't hit your household the same level that it hits ours, but we talked about how the enemy's strategies come and he tries to attack our homes. We talked about how he wants to divide and to isolate, how he wants to create distance between us and make us feel like we're alone, how he wants to cause division between spouses, between parents and their kids, and between believers with other believers. But today, I'm tired of division, okay? So today, we're talking about the opposite of division, and that's belonging. Today, we're talking about belonging. Everybody say belonging. That's a good word. I like that word. It's something that we are talking about this week, and it's that we belong in the family of God. So if you'll go with me to Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, it tells us, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." Do you know where you belong? The family of believers, it tells you. And so regardless of what your individual circumstances look like today, whatever your home life is when you leave this place and go back home, if you are in Christ and you're a believer, then you have a family. And this is it. The church is it. And you know, I think what's interesting is that Paul, the Apostle Paul, who wrote the book of Galatians, he, throughout his ministry, did not have a family of his own. So the guy who writes so much about our family life and how we should act and treat our family had no spouse or no children of his own. His family was the church family. And so we can learn a lot today about, regardless again of what your individual family circumstances look like, we're going to focus on 3 truths about what it means to live in the family of God, because we're all part of that. So we're going to start with 1. In the family of God, no one sits on the sidelines. So I don't know. I feel like probably we've all had this feeling at one point in our lives or another. But have you ever walked in somewhere, maybe you felt new, you were new to that situation or to those people, that group of people that you were around, and you thought, I don't know if I fit here. Like, I'm not really sure if I belong. I just feel like an outsider. I'll tell you, I left my job of like almost 10 years recently, and I felt very comfortable there. I felt like I knew the people that I worked with, and they knew me, and they were just sort of a different set of family. But I went and took a new job at a new school this summer, and I'll tell you, that first few weeks, I was like, what did I do? Why did I choose this? Because it felt like I was the new girl on the block, and I was coming in just to people that maybe didn't know me as well, and I was trying to figure out where I fit in. And that can be a hard feeling. And I'll tell you that some people, as they come into the church, I think they probably feel that way too, that they don't know whether they belong or whether they fit. They feel like they're on the outside looking in. I'm here to tell you this morning that no one in this room has the same story. So I want you to look at like the people to the left of you and the right of you on your row. If you look at the people in front of you and then the people behind you, you think of those people, you'll notice that we do not have the same stories, okay? Some of you are single and some of you are married. Some of you are in the thick of raising kids right now, and some of you are empty nesters. Some of you are young adults just getting started, and some of you are grandparents. You're wise, right? Some of you are maybe walking through a really hard season, and some of you are probably walking through the best season. But we all have different stories. Nobody's walking through the same season, and they're not. Their family dynamic is probably not the same. The good news is, though, we all have different stories, but we also all have the same Father. So we're literally covered by the same family. And that should give you some sense of security today that you don't have to bind to the lie that you don't belong here or that you don't fit in, because that only comes from Satan, and he's just the father of lies. And it's his job to isolate you and to divide you. He's here to make you feel like you're on an island and you're by yourself and you don't have anybody else. And an isolated believer is the most vulnerable one, so don't let him do that to you. Don't let him push you in a corner and make you feel like you're alone. I talk to teenagers all the time, and I always say, hey, if you feel like something's going down and something's wrong, you do not need to go in your door, in your room, and close it and, you know, alienate yourself to the rest of the world. You need people, especially when you're going through something. And so don't let the enemy convince you that you don't belong. Belonging in this family, in God's family, was never based on your age. It wasn't based on your marital status, and it's not based on your current situation. You belong here, and the good news is that your belonging is based on who you are in Christ Jesus. Jesus determines your place in this family, okay? That was really good, okay? I'm going to sound like Pastor Gene. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, if you'll go there with me, it says, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. You are no longer strangers or aliens. I don't want to be a stranger or an alien, and as the truth is, you don't either. We all want to belong. If you're a believer, let me tell you this, friends, you are not a guest here. You're not a visitor. You're not on the outside. You fit. You're a part. Don't let the enemy convince you otherwise. You belong here. You have a family here. You are family, okay? And so you aren't meant to sit on the sidelines, friends. You're part of this family, okay? We'll move on to number two, and it is that in the family of God, we carry each other. So the good news about family is that even though you're, you know, there can be tensions and that kind of thing sometimes, family means you don't have to fight alone. And I don't want to fight alone. We were made as human beings to carry and to be carried. And so it means we don't have to fight solo. Galatians 6, again, in verse 2 this time, tells us, carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. You know, a burden is something that is meant to be too heavy for you to carry on your own. And the good news is that God didn't design us to carry it alone. He designed it so you don't have to. Pastor Gene referenced this verse in week one, and it comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. It says, two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. I told the first service, you may be introverted like me. Anybody introverted in the room this morning? You wouldn't raise your hand because you too are introverted. And you're like, no, why would you call me out like that? So I'm introverted, married the biggest extrovert of all time. But I'll tell you, even as introverted people, we need people. I want you to think about your individual homes right now. Marriage, your marriage is easier when you know that somebody's praying for your marriage. You know that raising kids and parenting is easier when you're walking through it with other parents who are going through the same thing, or people who have been there and can say, I've done that. Do you know that walking through seasons of grief where you're hurt and things are really hard is easier when you have somebody come sit next to you and say, hey, you're not alone, and I'm here. We need the family of believers to come alongside of us and to help us carry us through different seasons of our life. I don't know, maybe some of you this morning are like all rainbows and butterflies, and you are like, hey, I'm in a great season, this is the best season ever, and I'm fine. Well, I am excited for you, sister. I'm glad. But I'm telling you that one day, there is a day coming where you're going to need community too, okay? So if you today don't have something that needs to be carried because things are going well, here's my challenge to you. Step up and help carry somebody else's burden who's walking through it. Because they do, because there are people around you. I think what happens sometimes is that we get in this bubble. Man, I'm guilty of this because, like, I'm working and I have, you know, kids and, like, you know, all the things, right? And so you get in this bubble and you can't see outside of the current bubble that you're in. And you forget that other people are walking through stuff and you have a responsibility, like it says in Galatians, to help carry the burdens that they're walking through too. So I'm not saying, like, you need to step off into their, you know, drama and like carry their heavy burdens and just feel heavy laden about it. But there are practical ways that you can step up for somebody. I'll tell you this week, like Tuesday or Wednesday, I got a text message from Krista Sullivan. And she's like, hey, that's me. And she texts me out of the blue and she said, hey, I've been thinking about you and I just wanted to check in on you. I know that you started a new job. How's it going? And how is Jude? Because she knew that he started school. And last year when he started school, it did not go well. And so she knew. And I text her back and I was like, hey, you don't know how much that means to me. That you just, like, I know you're thinking about me, but that you thought to, like, follow through and text me and say, hey, I know I'm just checking on you. You okay? How are you? How's Jude? That meant the world to me. And it didn't take a whole lot of time and effort on her part, but, like, it meant something. And that's a way that you can step up and help carry somebody else. It might be a phone call. It might be a text message. It might be you coming to sit alongside somebody else and just say, how are you doing? But do you know that, like, Krista texting me and checking on me prompted me to think, you know what? I know that there's somebody else walking through something that I know right now. And I text her and I said, hey, how are you? How are things going? Sometimes we need that reminder to bust out of our own bubble and realize that there are people around us who need us, you know? And so if you don't need to be carried this morning, my challenge to you is to step up and go help carry somebody else. Like I said, text message, phone call, something easy like that. You know what would really bless somebody's socks off? If you just showed up with a meal for, like, a family that you knew was, like, busy and kind of going through it, you don't have to have a reason to show up with a meal for somebody. It doesn't have to be that they had a death in the family or a surgery or a new baby or whatever. If you just showed up with, like, some KFC, you know what I mean? Like, on their door, who is going to turn that down? And that is going to bless their socks off. I'm telling you that if you want to bless a marriage, you really want to bless somebody's marriage, you could volunteer to babysit their children. Hey, that deserved a bigger amen, parents. Like, sign me up for a baby. You want to bless me and Tyler? We will sign up for a babysitter all day, right? Because sometimes the parents' marriages just need, like, somebody to come in and say, hey, you know what? You just go take a couple hours and go to a movie or go to dinner or go walk around Walmart, whatever you do, right? Do something, right? That would be such a huge blessing. It might just be like an older, wiser, more mature couple sewing into a younger couple and saying, hey, we've been there. We see you. Keep going. It might just be encouragement like that. But there is a practical way that you can reach out to somebody right now and help carry their burden. And I would encourage you to do that regardless of what your season is. Now, some of you are on the opposite side and you say, Nicole, I actually have a burden that I'm carrying and it's heavy right now. And I do need somebody to help me carry it. Well, one, if you have a burden that needs to be carried, you have to let people in to help you carry it. So you can't be carried if you keep everybody at arm's length. You have to be willing to let your guard down and let your wall down and let somebody in. If your answer is always, yeah, we're good, we're fine, yeah, everything's good, everything's like rainbows and sunshine here. Well, if you're that way all the time, then people are never going to be able to get in and connect with you. You know, sometimes we want community without vulnerability. It's hard to be vulnerable with people and let your guard down and say, actually, it's going down at the Sheremy household. I could be vulnerable with y'all, right? Because I already told you, we just threw down a few weeks ago. So it's hard to be vulnerable with people though, right? It's hard to let your guard down. Sometimes we want people just to see all the good in our lives, but we don't want to be honest about the hard parts. But if you will let people in, if you will let your guard down and be vulnerable with people, remember, community, there's protection in community. There's security in community. And I said, isolation is where the devil does his best work. So I want to remind you, if you are having a hard time letting walls down, like, check your pride. I can be that way sometimes. I can be like, you know what? I can do it myself. Okay? And I'm sure that's not you. But sometimes I have to check my pride and be like, you know what? I need other people to let them in. Don't let the enemy isolate you, because that just makes the burden heavier. Why would you make it harder on yourself? Why would you make the burden heavier if you have the opportunity? Don't push people away. My challenge to you would be to start doing something that builds community. So that might be, like, we have life group signups out there. And I know you're like, hey, Pastor Gene probably told you, tell people to sign up for life groups. He did. But hear me, okay? When I tell you that life groups will change your life. So the people that we do life group with knew that story about Jude saying, you know, that we were not married anymore or whatever, weeks ago, right? They were the first people that we told. They are the people that know all of the mountaintops that we've stood on and all the valleys that we've walked through. They are absolutely some of our best friends. And if you are able to plug into a life group and walk alongside people who are doing life with you and help them, and you help them and them help you, and you carry one another's burdens, man, y'all, that's such an asset. It's such a blessing. I can tell you, life groups absolutely will change your life. Maybe some of you, though, just need to step up and serve. You need to break outside of the bubble that you're in and realize everybody's got a lot going on. We're all busy, right? We're not too busy to serve. So you might need to join the dream team and take part. Maybe it's, hear me, introverts, I'm talking to you, okay? Maybe it's like on Sundays after the sermon ends, Pastor Nolan does his last little song and he blesses us. Maybe it's not just immediately grab your stuff and walk out to the car and get to the local Mexican restaurant the fastest, okay? I can be tempted to be that way sometimes. I'm like, oh, just look down and get to the car quickly. You know, I'm tired or hungry or whatever it is. And Tyler's, meanwhile, here talking to everybody. Like, they're trying to shut the lights down and, you know, go home. But I can be tempted to be that way. You know what? That's not how connection's going to happen. And I'm not going to learn anybody else's burdens and what I can help them carry. And they're not going to be able to help me carry mine if I don't connect with them. So sometimes I've got to make a conscious effort to stick around and look at the person in front of me or beside me and say, hey, like, how are you? Things okay? Like, tell me how you're doing, so that we can learn to connect with one another. So here's my charge to you guys. Don't just attend. Belong. If you want to belong, you have to make some effort to belong. And so, in the family of God, one, we said we don't sit on the sidelines. Two, you don't have to carry your burdens alone. Praise the Lord. You have a family here who's ready to help you carry them. And then number three, in the family of God, every season has purpose. Let me tell you, there is an absolute purpose for what you are currently walking through right now. This season that you're in, not the season that you're waiting for, not the season that you're praying for, not the season that you think is going to make everything better. I'm talking about this season, today, tomorrow, the next day. What you're walking through right now has purpose. And I'm sure you're like, well, we all have different stories. And we do. Some of you are probably single in the room this morning. And you may be tempted to believe the lie of the enemy that says that your life doesn't really start until you get married. Well, marriage is good. Praise the Lord. I have a good marriage. And, you know, that's great. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to be married, because God created us for relationship and he created us for connection. But you have an opportunity right now as a single person. The Lord knew you would be single in this season. It didn't take him by surprise. And you have an opportunity in this season to grow and to serve and to build relationships and to walk in the purpose and the calling that he has for you in this season. Don't wait for the next one, okay? I don't know. A lot of times, we get to talk to lots of single people who are young, and They end up chasing relationships that fill only a void that God can fill. And then you end up rushing into something because you're not patient. And when you're not patient, then you end up settling. And hey, married people, amen me on this one. You don't want to settle, right? You don't want to settle because a marriage is serious. And if you settle, that is going to cause turmoil and division later on down the line that you, the Lord never meant for you to carry. So when you know who you are and you know whose you are and you know that your relationship status doesn't define you, what God says about you defines you, then you'll walk in the security that he's bringing the right person at the right time. I know that, like, standing here, you're like, oh, but you just said you love Tyler and you have a great marriage. We do. Yeah, it's awesome. But do you know that there was a season before Tyler where I was single? And he's like, praise God. And before Tyler and I actually got married in our late 20s. And so a lot of our friends had gotten married at that point in life. And it just felt like that everybody else had somebody, right? And so I'll never forget, we were in church on a Sunday morning, and I was sitting back kind of where Tyler's sitting this morning, and Pastor Gene had us stand up, and he said, all right, everybody raise your hands. I'm going to bless you and release you this morning. And then he stopped, and he said, hey, Nicole, I feel like the Lord is telling me that you feel alone and you feel forgotten and that he's overlooked you or he's forgotten about you. And that's exactly how I felt, but Pastor Gene didn't know that. And he said, I just want to tell you that the Lord is telling me that what he has for you is exceptional. You hold on to that word, exceptional. So I read it in my Bible, and that was in December. And I wrote exceptional, and I wrote the date, and I held on to that. And it didn't come in a week, and it didn't come in a month, and it didn't come in 6 months. But within a year, the Lord gave me Tyler. And I always tell Tyler, like, you are exceptional to me. He loves that. Like, he gloats in that. He's exceptional. And so, man, the Lord's plans for our lives were so much better. Like, we're so much stronger together than what I ever imagined that we would be. If the Lord can bring me somebody exceptional, he'll do it for you too. Okay? That's my spiel on being single. I'm going to move on now. Okay? Some of you that are already married, and you know, like, the struggles and the hurdles that you have to jump through when you are married. And so it's very easy to get bogged down with things like work and kids and busy schedules. And if we aren't careful, you'll look up and it's been 10 years. And you're like, wow, how did we get here? Do you know that in your marriages, you have to be intentional in the season that you're in or you'll miss it? There's purpose in what you're going through right now. So be intentional in your marriage with your spouse right now. Some of you are raising kids, and the ordinary day-to-day task just, whoo, y'all, they're kind of overwhelming and, like, exhausting sometimes. You lay down at night, and you're like, how did we get all that done? I'm here to remind you that the bedtime prayers and the commute to and from school and the bringing them to church over and over again, even on a fifth Sunday when they're kind of wiggly and there's no children's church, or apologizing like we do when we get it wrong, all that models faith in your home. And I'm telling you that more than any sermon that Pastor Gene preaches from this stage, because they won't remember all of those. And they're not going to remember every lesson that they had in kids' church, or certainly every lesson that Tyler preaches on Wednesdays for youth. But they will remember what faith looked like in your home. So it matters, parents, as you're fixing lunches, as you're doing bath time routines, as you're carpooling from one thing to the other, and they're asking you 5 million questions, it's kingdom work. And it matters. There's purpose in it. Don't give up. Keep going. Some of you, though, are like, hey, I don't have little people anymore, and I don't know what to do with myself. I'm an empty nester. And just because your role has changed doesn't mean that your purpose has disappeared. Sometimes people lose, you know, like, their kids go on and they do other things, and you just assume that your greatest contributions are behind you. But that's not true. There are absolutely, you still have a purpose, and there are absolutely people who need you to encourage them, to invest in them, to sow into them, to mentor and to serve them. There's a younger generation of people who need an older, wiser generation who's been there to come back and sow into them. They need you. And I see it all the time. last year this time, I had Wells. Wells is our one-year-old. But I was pregnant with him and getting ready to have him. And Cody, Curly, and Mason help us with youth on Wednesday nights. And she, too, was getting ready to have Mary Kate. So within 3 weeks, we were having babies together. And that meant that she and I were not going to be upstairs on Wednesday nights. We were going to be, like, on maternity leave, kind of. And so Tyler and Mason would continue on with youth upstairs. But really, we needed a female up there because just for, you know, accountability reasons and that kind of thing. So we needed a female to step up. And I'll tell you, a couple weeks before I had Wells, Miss Anita caught me in the hallway and she said, "Hey, Nicole, I don't know. I feel like that the Lord is just like prompting me to volunteer to help sow into the girls. I know that you and Cody are going to be gone for a few weeks and I know that the girls probably need somebody. I feel like the Lord's laid something on my heart for me to share with them. And so I'd like to, you know, do like a small group with them while y'all are on maternity leave." Let me tell you, friends, not everybody's volunteering to help us on youth, like on Wednesday nights at the youth, okay? So that was a big deal, like a big volunteer, and we were thankful to hear it. And do you know that those girls soaked that up? They loved meeting with her, and they still talk about the things that they learned with Miss Anita while Cody and I were with our babies at home. What a blessing. What purpose that is to sow into the next generation. We're thankful for her. Some of you, though, may be in a season that you didn't choose, like you're widowed or divorced, and life does not look anything like you thought that it would. And I'm sorry, because I know that you're probably grieving, and it feels like you're starting over in a sense, and that is so hard. It can be really easy to feel like you are forgotten or behind or disqualified, but I'm here to remind you that this chapter that you're in right here is just a chapter. It's not the whole story, that God's not done writing it, and you aren't alone in this. That a difficult season doesn't mean that God abandoned you. It just means that he's preparing you. And I would challenge you just to see the purpose in it, to seek God's purpose in it, because it's not over, okay? It's not over. Regardless of what your current situation looks like, whatever season that you're in is not just a holding pattern for the next one. So don't put your life or your purpose on hold or on pause waiting for a different season, because you're not just waiting for home someday. You're part of a home now. So belong. Be part of it. It needs you. We need you. Jeremiah 29:11 is a popular verse that I know a lot of you are probably familiar with. And it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a future and a hope." And we think this is just a verse for seniors at Baccalaureate Sunday, but I'm here to tell you that the Word of God doesn't change, and it applies to you at 6 years old, it applies to you at 16 years old, and it applies to you at 6 years old. A future and a hope, good plans for you. His plan for your life is active in this season and not just in the next one. So you need to hang on to that today, because your season, what you're walking through, matters, and it has purpose right now. So I'm going to come to a close. Pastor Nolan, you can come on up. And as I come to a close this morning, like I said, I've enjoyed this series that Pastor Gene's done on Homefront and about our homes being the front line. It is absolutely worth fighting for. Regardless of what your individual homes look like right now, what your stories look like, I know that everybody in this room really just all want to belong. And I want to remind you that the deepest sense of belonging that any of you can have is being in the family of God. If you're really in the family of God, that's going to change the way that you live. If you're really part of the family of believers, then you'll be reminded that we don't let people carry their burdens alone. We don't let people sit on the sidelines. And we don't waste the season that we're in, because in God's family, everybody has a place. And everybody has somebody to walk with them. And every season has purpose. So I hope that you are encouraged in that today, regardless of where you are. You'll bow your heads. We're coming to a close this morning. Maybe you feel like parts of this sermon apply to you. I don't know, like I said, your individual circumstances. But maybe there's something I said this morning that the Lord is tugging at your heartstrings. You might be the person that feels like you don't belong. And I encourage you today to take a step to connect with this family of believers. Maybe it's starting point, like you just really need to take that step to connect. It might be serving somewhere and getting outside of the bubble of what's going on in your life and recognizing other people need your help. Maybe it's jumping in on a first Wednesday and just coming to church, not just on Sunday mornings, or joining a life group, because I'm telling you, it can change your life. But I'm here to remind you that you were not made to fight alone. And God has placed you here to have people come alongside you to support you. Maybe what you're carrying today is heavy. And when I was talking about those heavy burdens, you realize you need somebody to come alongside you and help you carry what you're walking through. Because I know that some of you have just been carrying these things and you've been keeping people at arm's length and you're just scared to let people in. But I'm telling you that you're in a body of believers who is here to help come alongside you. And maybe you're just the one who like does not see purpose in the season that you're in right now. And you're just trying to figure out, Lord, where are you in this season that I'm in? It's so easy to feel alone and forgotten, or just like an outsider, like you're just behind. But you don't have to feel that way. There's a family of believers here today standing with you, people who are going to pray for you, who are going to carry you, and who are going to need you to carry them one day. So I'm going to pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. God, thank you for the opportunity to be here today. Thank you for every person that walked through the doors. Lord, you ordained for them to be here on this day in the second service at this time. It's not by mistake that they're here. And Lord, I pray that something that went forth in this message this morning touched their hearts. Lord, I pray for the people who are carrying burdens right now. Lord, I pray that they will trust that there are other people within this family of believers who can come alongside them and help them carry that so that they don't feel alone. Lord, for the people who are walking through difficult seasons and they don't see purpose in it, God, help them see the purpose in it. Help them trust that you're moving in, even when they can't see it and they can't feel it. And Lord, for the people who just feel like they haven't connected yet or haven't become a part, God, Lord, I pray that you would just give them the sense of belonging, where we all just want to belong, Jesus. I pray that you will remind them that they have a place here, that they're special to this house, that they belong, that they're a part, that people need them, and that they need us. Jesus, thank you for what you're doing at our church, God. Thank you for bringing us here together today, Lord. You move, you have your way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Church Alive Teaching of the Week. We invite you to join us for our Sunday morning worship service every Sunday at 8:45 or 10:30. Learn more at churchalive.net.